You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Hello, you're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm Corey, a.k.a. Bayou Benders, alongside Mason Dixon, and this is Habs Nightly, your hub for Habs content. Back to another episode of Habs Nightly. This is a very important one. It was the start of free agency the night before, so I'm sure you guys are excited to listen to us talk about the big moves that Montreal didn't really make, but some of the smaller moves that they've kind of integrated to make somewhat of a I don't know, average season, which is going to be as best as I could put it. But Mason, how are you, bud?
Oh, man, I am fucking exhausted today.
Are you really?
I can't tell you. I am dead. Just, you know, holy, I fucking took the bullet. I went out. It was my buddy's birthday yesterday, so I went out last night till, like, I don't know, like, 10 o'clock, got home at like 11. I am finished.
Yeah, you had work today?
Oh, I worked Monday to Friday. Got to be up at 4 a.m. So it was, nice. Wasn't a lot of sleep, but you best believe I was on my phone all fucking day.
Yeah?
Yeah, watching the free agent frenzy, you know.
On the phone, on site. How do you have a job?
That's what working for the city is, man.
Oh my god,
20 minutes of work, 2 hours of sitting around.
Heard that.
Anyway, getting back to free agency, yeah, the Habs didn't do much today. Most significant signing would have been Madison, or free agent signing would have been Madison Bowie, but the most significant signing of the day wasn't even in the free agent frenzy. It was the signing of our first overall pick, Jurijs Slafkovský, all but confirming he will be playing in North America next year. Mm-hmm. He's gonna, you know, we kind of established this, but he won't be going back to TPS. He will either be in Laval or in Montreal, which bodes well for us because it means we get to see him a lot more.
So we got a couple of things to talk about, but we might as well stay on the subject of Slafkovský. But while we're here, not as much development camp sites as I'd like to see on the internet, but there have been some great moments of him so far. One being him destroying the bike in his fitness test, which was unfucking real. And I don't know why. It looked even more intimidating when they had the girl trying to hold the bike down, and it was like, looked like it was like ripping away from her. And then he's already made an appearance to like some, you know, youth hockey camps out there. Looks like he's having a lot of fun, scores a goal, looking pretty nasty on a little bit of, you know, video we've been able to catch, has a fun moment with his fellow guys at the development camp. It just looks like this is, I don't know, like a game to him. You know what I'm saying? Like he's not. Like, this is serious. You can tell that in the bike video. But at the same time, like, he has a shitload of fun, as you can see him messing with the guys in the handshake line after a day of practice. This kid seems like he's just fun to be around.
No, most definitely. He was speaking after the first day of on-ice scrimmages and said that he wasn't very happy with his performance, and you know, everyone who observed said he was great. So you can see that he expects a lot of himself, and he's dedicated and working hard. Had a great performance at the development camp today in the scrimmage, the final day of development mm-hmm. camp, and another standout performer today at the development camp.
The Lane train.
We've been very fond of, and that was Lane Hutson, yes, who just had some phenomenal moments and actually had a little bit of a collision with Slafkovský. They had a one-on-one, and Lane Hutson won that battle. So I guess it's 1-0 Lane so far, but it was just great watching the development game. As much as I could see, obviously it was working. So I was kind of in and out of my phone watching the development game, but it was exciting. Yeah. And I'm happy that Slafkovský signed, and I'm looking forward to seeing more from him, not only from his personality, but also his play on the ice.
I am glad he's going to be in North America. So, excuse me. So that being said, like, he gets to go to Laval if sent down, correct? Or would they have to?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So it's like either way, he's going to be within our organization close by. And I don't know, look great in development camp. I'd like to see him, get his 9 games and see where we are. But it would be very nice to see him close by.
No, absolutely. I guess Habs news. What else is there really to talk about? Sean Farrell was at development camp.
Mm-hmm.
Looked absolutely fun. Looked like a man amongst boys, I must say. And he has said he wants to go back to Harvard, but Sean Farrell's had the kind of development camp that gets guys contracts. So I think he'll probably go back to college. But I'll be honest, like, I wouldn't be shocked if he also got a contract. He played that well. He looked that good. He just looked a cut above the other prospects. And there's some very good, solid players who attended that development camp.
But this would technically be his third or fourth year for college.
This is his second year.
It's second, really? I feel like he's been.
Hello, John Farrell.
Yeah.
So Sean Farrell was drafted in 2020. He played in the USHL.
That's right, because they had a year old.
That.
Yeah.
He played in Chicago, broke that record, mm-hmm. and then went to Harvard last year, had 28 points in 24 games.
Nice. Well, I think Cole left at 2 years. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he has another terrific season and decides to join then.
I think Sean Farrell needs another year, mm-hmm. honestly, but I was left very impressed with his, what do you want to say, his camp.
Yeah.
I thought he looked phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. I know we kind of passed over Lane Hutson a little quick. But if I'm not mistaken, I know he had a goal today. He might have had two, or it was an assist. I saw one. And he had a beautiful, I think he took it out of their zone, brought it all the way through the neutral, had a very, very pretty I'm about to sneeze. Had a great pass to, like, over someone's stick into the slot. The guy kind of shifts his weight and throws it back to him. He just dumps it off in the back of the net. It's pretty fucking dirty, dude. I believe there was another goal. If not, I might have just watched the same one twice, but he looked really good.
Lane Hutson probably had the best camp. Or best game, maybe not camp, like that. Mm-hmm. That game, the scrimmage,
that game was today, nice.
He scored 2 goals. He was all over the ice. Now, keep in mind, and I hate to be that guy, but the way Habs Twitter's saying he's our best prospect, and like they've already after one development camp, like, listen, we love Lane Hutson. He is phenomenal. I think he's going to be great. He had a great game. He had a great day.
Mm-hmm.
It's 4-on-4 with. Yes, there's some hits. Like, Hutson himself got crushed once. Minimal contact, though. 4-on-4 open ice against other developing players. That is, oh my fucking God. Sorry. As I speak, Johnny Gaudreau has just signed a contract. That is a perfect environment for Lane Hudson. Sorry.
Gross.
Mid-sentence. Johnny Gaudreau has signed a 7-year, $9.8 million contract in Columbus. When you're listening to this, you probably know that. But that is fucking disgusting. Reports came out that I think Calgary offered him close to $12 million or something.
Yeah, but earlier today, Elliot Friedman, I believe, spoke on it and said that it was strictly getting close to home. It wasn't about the money. He was just looking for a place still closer. I know, that's nuts.
I'll be honest, Johnny. I get, you know, Alberta can be rough, but moving to Ohio. And I heard he could have gone to New Jersey, which is where he's from. New Jersey was the team that was very interested. The Islanders. Wow. A lot of guys have gone to the Columbus Blue Jackets.
I don't know how many like willingly went there for this type of term.
Not many guys signed there long term. So this is wow. Wow.
That's a tough one, honestly. I mean, just about 30 minutes ago before we started, one of the great insiders, probably Elliot Friedman, or he retweeted it, said that what is his last name? Chuck Fletcher was just like, we're out with Philly. Like, we don't have the money for it. I didn't think that Columbus was the next.
I'm trying to understand what. I know that it was about getting closer to home. Okay, I understand that. But I struggle to see the hockey sense that this signing makes for Johnny Gaudreau and maybe even the team here, because this is a team whose leading scorer was a 32-year-old Jacob Voracek, who had 62 points in 79 games. Line A is a great young star. Werenski's phenomenal. I like Roslovic. But like, other than that, like, this is not a, their number one center is either Boone Jenner or Jack Roslovic next year.
Roslovic was good, but
but 45, like, who's passing Johnny Gaudreau the puck? This is just, I don't know. This is just a really weird, I cannot understand why Gaudreau would want to join a team. Like, maybe he's envisioning passing the puck to Line A. But other than that,
I mean, even at that though, like, look, I think it takes tremendous, you know, like, maturity and balls to play in a place like Calgary. And granted, Calgary has some pieces they need to move. That there needs to be something that swings to make that team, you know, like a fucking Stanley Cup champion. But you're going from a very well put together team over there, at least, you know, last year, and now you're moving yourself that much further out of a cup contention. Like, to say you'd go anywhere to be close to your family is, this kid's really like the front runner to tell us that.
It's one thing to say it and do it, and it's another thing to say it and then fucking move to Columbus, Ohio. I'm just like, Columbus to New Jersey, I'm assuming. Yeah, that's an 8.5-hour drive. Like, Columbus is in the Midwest.
Yeah.
Like, he would have been technically, like, honestly, what's the difference? At the end of the day, you're flying. So I don't see the difference, to be honest with you. It's a 2-hour flight from Columbus to New Jersey, and it's, let me look it up here, Calgary to New Jersey. It's a 4-hour flight, so you've taken 2 hours off a plane. I don't think that's the biggest deal in the world, to be honest with you. You're making less money. I think there may be more to the family thing than mm-hmm. Johnny Gaudreau. I think Johnny Gaudreau may be lying. Because if that's his reasoning, I think he's made a, like, that's a stupid decision. Coming from me, at least, like, from my point of view, that's absurd. From a hockey standpoint and from, you know, a logistics standpoint.
Well, I think shit will come out later that maybe makes it make more sense in that way. But I mean, man, that's tough. Hey, but look, I'm all aboard. If Johnny Gaudreau could help make the Columbus Blue Jackets a team to watch, a team to talk about, then I'm all for it. If he's the type of guy that's like, I just want to help a team get good and it's willing to do it in Columbus, dude, God bless you. At that point, I mean, honestly, you could have just signed with the Red Wings. Like, they seem stacked as fuck now. I don't know. Dude, it's a little off the rails, dude, but that's – like, I was excited for this. I figured it was going to be something, like, intense, you know, and fucking Columbus.
I'm just – I feel very underwhelmed by this.
I don't mean to say this, but like, I feel like a lot of today's, which is now yesterday's when you guys were listening, I feel like it's been a bit of an underwhelming free agency. And I know it's only a couple of hours in and 24 hours probably for you guys, but I feel like there's been a lot of rushed signings. Whereas, I mean, fuck, dude. I feel like you could have sat a day and maybe listened to a little bit more, but I guess with the fear of you know, there another team potentially signing someone, and now you're out in the gutter. But I feel like there was more places that he could have ended up that he didn't have to pull the trigger on Columbus so quick. By all means, though, Columbus fans, fucking, you're probably excited as fuck.
See, I'm kind of the opposite mindset. I think for how long this took, because, you know, usually you see the top guy, he's got something lined up by the end of, you know, by the time 12 o'clock rolls around. To then settle on fucking jaunt like Columbus, I'm just kind of still utterly shocked, to be honest with you. I guess my question is to you, like,
maybe he just wanted to get the fuck out of Canada, like, or Calgary.
But like you have options. You can join the Devils, who are going to be amazing next year. You're gonna have, like, this is where you're gonna play the prime of your career. This is a 7-year deal. Johnny Gaudreau is gonna be 35 by the end of this contract. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is his, where am I going to settle down in the prime of my career, the next 4 or 5 years I have as one of the best players in the league, and where can I win a cup? And of the two metropolitan teams you could have joined, we heard, were interested. The New Jersey Devils, who have Jack Hughes, who's entering his prime and is going to be a top 5, top 6 center in the league. Right, realistically, he's going to be mm-hmm. one of the best players in the league, along with Jesper Bratt, Nico Hischier, Simon Nemeth, a myriad of just young, amazing talent. Or you could join the Islanders, who, you know, aren't necessarily amazing, but they have Matt Barzal. They've got one of the best defensive pairings in the league, a great goaltending duo. Or you can join Columbus. And I'll be honest, like, if I have to, like, I don't see who Columbus beats in the Metro to make the playoffs next year. I don't know. I'm thoroughly, like, baffled by this decision. It kind of, I want to say I'm okay. as shocked, but I feel like I'm even more shocked than when Taylor Hall went to Buffalo a couple years ago, mm-hmm. because at least that kind of, like, it was like a prove it deal. Like, he was going to put up a bunch of points with Eichel and then make some money. This just, I don't think Columbus is going to do better with New Jersey. I don't think they're going to do better than the Islanders. And we've seen what Carolina's done today, picking up Pacioretty for free. They're not losing a playoff spot. The Rangers aren't. The Penguins just signed their big three. The Capitals signed a bunch of guys. Connor Brown, they got their elite goalie going forward, and Darcy Kemper. Of all the teams you could have picked in this division, I'll be honest, I think the only one you could have done worse in the Metro was Philly. But they stopped bidding on you anyway. So, you know, maybe I'm wrong and I'll eat my words, but this is not a championship decision. This is not a winning mentality play signing from Johnny Gaudreau.
And Johnny Gaudreau got involved in some bad shit and had to get out of Canada. Because it really doesn't make sense. Our buddy, State of Hoppy, he put
so just to confirm, Pierre LeBrun confirming Calgary's last offer to Johnny Gaudreau was 8 years at $10.5 million.
What if he really hated, what's his name, Sauter?
Had some career years with him. I don't know. That's
had to walk away from Kachuk.
Wow. Just wow. I don't know what to say.
So, State of Hoppy, buddy Hoppy over at the Soda Pod with Isha, tweeted, he's the simplest man with the simplest palate, seeking the simplest market with the simplest aspirations. So how didn't we see this coming?
Yeah, I'm just...
He's just a plain Jane, cut and dry type of guy.
Sorry. I'm speechless, honestly. I don't really know what to say. I mean, good for Columbus. If you're a Blue Jackets fan, you should be absolutely thrilled. I mean, you have a new face of your franchise. Like, he's your best player. Patrick Laine, if you don't trade Laine, he's probably going to have a phenomenal year now. But yeah, weird decision from my perspective. But moving on, what were we talking about? I think we were talking about Lane Hudson or something.
We were still kind of covering our guys that we had signed. It's really hard to get back on. But look, fan favorite. Let's just pull it this way. Fan favorite Michael Pezzetta earns his shot at another year with the Habs, gets the league minimum, 24 years old. He played 51 games last year, 5 goals, 11 points. Fuck, dude, did he earn it?
I mean, yeah. I think this is it's a league minimum deal. He provides so much. The fan base loves him. The guys love him. I'm so happy they brought Pezzetta back. I would have been pretty upset if they didn't.
Yeah. Because, I mean, in all honesty, not a contending team next year. Keep the glue guy around. You know what I'm saying? Like, great, great for the locker room. Stand-up guy on the ice. Well, I mean, fight for his teammates. Like, he's everything you need right now. We also signed Corey Schoeneman to a standard one-year base salary. Then that was on Monday. So, today – obviously, we did Slafkovsky. They signed Nate Schnarr to a year at a two-way. Another two guys at two-way is Joel Taisdale and Alex Bazile. And then along with Bowie, Richard, and Stevens are the other guys that we grabbed today. Now, I mean, I don't want to stay too long. You Jesus, Corey. You tweeted earlier, you know, like you forgot who Bowie was. I didn't fucking know who he was. But apparently right-handed defenseman, someone we can slot in, probably on like the third pairing if he makes it. I guess it's a win. I maybe this is some guys that
it's absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Like, I feel like it was just maybe pulling some guys together for, I mean, more or less everybody we signed, with the exception of like maybe a little bit of Schooneman and Pezzetta is like just Laval stacking.
Yeah. I know that the Laval definitely needed some more veterans, losing Ouellet, losing John Sebastian Dia, you know, some other things. But
they also lost
Lawrence Dolphin. I also do hope, though, that those signings don't block roster spots for our developing players.
Mm-hmm.
But what I was going to mention before I got absolutely stunned was Kent Hughes was supposed to meet with the media today between 4 p.m. and 5 p.m. He did not.
He canceled.
It's coming out that allegedly it's because he is in talks, deep talks with about Jeff Petrie. So by the time people are listening to this, the way things go, we'll probably record this. And then 5 minutes after we're done, the Jeff Petrie trade will be announced. But
if it happens, I'll do my best to come on. But
I guess saying that, allegedly, Seattle Kraken are now involved. And really? I want to know, because we haven't really heard much about them before, but just, I don't know how much you know about the Kraken roster, but what kind of a price would you like for Jeff Petrie from them?
Dang, buddy. Let's have a look. So before we get to Seattle, obviously with the moving of Brent Burns today, that broke my heart, but it was understandable, and maybe Carolina can get a cup and maybe utilize one of probably the best dual players ever. But with Brent Burns going to Carolina and not Dallas, which would have made absolute sense because he's got a fucking zoo over there, that, you know, there's still talks of Petrie to Dallas, especially now that they lost their bid on Brent Burns. But Jesus, Seattle Kraken. While I fumble fuck this, I saw along with Slavkovsky, Seattle Kraken also signed what's his name? It's funny to say Shane Wright. Shane Wright signed today. Let's look at this group. So I saw it wasn't necessarily – what's up?
I was going to say, I don't think it will be any roster players. I don't think there's anyone on Seattle that interests me on their roster.
Mm-hmm.
I think more of like a prospect or like a first-round pick for next year, something like that.
Okay. But well, yeah, I was going to say, I don't remember which way it went, but I saw one of the – I think it was like LeBron said it, that – the Canadians are trying to move, or Hughes is trying to move Jeff Petrie, and it's for like, it's not player for player type of thing. It'll be for like, you know, like futures, you know, shit like that. Like you're saying, like picks or development players or something like that. Seattle's only been here fucking one full year, two full drafts now. I don't know if they really have guys in development that are keen to us. That you kind of got me off guard. I'm sitting on fucking Daily Faceoff looking up some shit, but I'm thinking draft pick, maybe two draft picks and a prospect. Maybe it's not going to be high draft picks unless it's like instead of two, it turns into a one, but I don't see it anything past a two at this point. A second round, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I just find it weird that Seattle would allegedly be interested in Petrie, because you know, maybe I don't really see where where he would fit into their plans. I don't think they're looking to win immediately. You just drafted Shane Wright. You have Matty Beniers. Like, you're growing for the future, not for the present. So it just seems like a weird, weird kind of stance for them to take.
I mean, they got Vince Dunn, Adam Larson, Oleksiak. I mean, he could jump in, but it's kind of tough. I mean, they definitely could use some guys, you know, to kind of fill out the defense, but that one's kind of tough. And honestly, I think personally for me, it's, you don't have enough shit on Seattle. And I know Seattle's got a lot of picks and acquired some crazy, crazy amount of prospects and stuff, but I really don't know of any, like, off the top of my head that will, like, okay, I'd grab this kid and this kid. Now, I'm sure there's some fans out there that are like, you're stupid. What about this and this? But off the top of my head, they haven't been around long enough for me to, like, really sink in. Like, I only think of, you know, Wright and Beniers as prospects for this team. and if we're not in, also, if we're not going, you know, like a right now player, then fuck, I really don't know. Stop, Turk. Bastard.
No, I'm in the same boat. It's why I asked you, because I just don't know enough about Seattle's prospect pool or even really their roster, if I'll be perfectly honest with you. So it's just an interesting kind of thought, but it'll be, you know, I'm curious to see what, if anything, Ken Hughes does trade Petrie for, because, you know, we do have, if Logan Mayhew, which it appears that the organization is now starting to see him as a prospect, if you add him to the pile, Petrie becomes even more dispensable than he was before. And, well, not that he is dispensable, but, you know, you're able to trade him. You have people coming down.
Yeah.
The line. So
maybe what if it's in a thought process that Seattle's not going to be, you know, like you're saying, they're not going to be like front runners to do anything. What if we're grabbing a pick that it won't be a first round. I highly doubt it. It would have to be, you know, like, we'd have to move multiple pieces, but maybe we're trying to grab, you know, a second round pick that we can then, because they're going to be in the same predicament as us, kind of a tough team to watch, not to watch, but, you know, like a tough team in the standings. It'll be a higher up pick. Maybe we could move said higher pick and, you know, in an attempt to grab another first round or something like that for the next draft, that's going to be more stacked than this one was.
So just coming out now, the New Jersey Devils offered Goudreau north of $10 million and a 7-year deal.
Something's not right.
There's, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like, how you say you want to go home.
Ham and Cheese had dealings with the mafia. Like, there's some reason why he's in, like, you know, the land of witness protection. Like, nowhere.
Wow. That's, like I said, it just continues to baffle me. That's shocking, to say the least.
At least it gave us something to talk about.
No, absolutely. The Senators got better as well. We can talk about that.
God, did they? Unreal, dude. The Senators got really good. And so did the Red Wings. But let's start with the Senators, I guess. I know probably the fans of the podcast, like, I do not want to hear this. But that's all the Habs news. The Habs really were quiet. We can't make moves until we move pieces.
Well, I think it is important for the Habs because, you know, I do think more is coming for this Canadiens team. I think a lot of it has to do with the uncertainty around Petrie and Price. And, you know, I think what a lot of people forget because we are rebuilding, we are one of the most cap-pressed teams in the league. And you can thank Mark Bergevin for that. But, you know, if we can get Petrie off the books, if we can get Price off the books, then we have some flexibility. The Habs were not going to make any huge deals today. However, some big free agent signings, like the one in Columbus and the one in Ottawa for Claude Giroux, along with the trade Ottawa made for Cam Talbot, those are huge for the Habs because it means something very important. It means the East is getting stronger. And why is that good for Montreal, you may ask?
Because we're going to suck harder
next year. Chicago is doing everything in their power to be worse than us.
Dude, they're so – if they need some fucking old Saints paper bags, I'm sure we can loan them out to them because, dude, you got to be embarrassed. You have got to be embarrassed. I don't know what to say, dude. I mean, I saw Kubalik move today to the Red Wings. Like, every bit of sunshine is fucking gone.
But, see, that's another win for Montreal.
Yeah.
Not only did the Senators get better.
So did the Wings. The Wings are nasty.
Who else got better? Fuck. The Leafs, I don't think got better, but I think they're, you know,
they're going to be a top of the division, you know.
Like,
they're going to be okay.
You look at all the team. Boston's getting Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci back. Mm-hmm. Buffalo's going to be much better. They got Ilya Lyubushkin, signed him. They signed Eric Comrie as a backup, which is a kind of signing for me, but Buffalo, I think they're on the upward trend. They're going to be better next year. Tage Thompson's going to be better. Alex Tuck's there. They've got Dylan Cousins. They're going to be good. See, look at the Atlantic. There's not a team in this division I think the Habs can beat. And I don't mean like a game. I mean like we're going to be last in the Atlantic. Look at it. Like, and to make it oh so sweeter, the Florida Panthers have gotten a lot worse. And a lot worse. They lost Claude Giroux. They lost Ben Chiarot, both of whom are strengthening two teams that could, you know, Detroit and the Senators that we could be competing with for picks. Mm-hmm. They lost Mason Marchment, 57 points.
No, unreal.
57 points in 65 games or something.
Where did he go? Vegas?
He went to the Dallas Stars.
Oh, sexy.
That's going to be a great team. Just they're replacing some of the young guys. It's going to be mm-hmm. Who knows. Allegedly, Mackenzie Weegar may be traded. God knows why.
But they got both the stalls.
Yes. So.
One on a PTO.
Not only have the Habs indirectly really maintained their position as the worst team in the Atlantic, Florida's draft pick is much better. They're not guaranteed. I don't think Florida's guaranteed a playoff spot next year.
No.
I really don't. I think the Leafs are probably, as much as I think the Leafs regressed a little bit, I think they can beat Florida in the regular season next year. Mm-hmm. Tampa really didn't lose anyone.
No, Tampa just signed everyone to fucking 8-year deals.
Boston got better. The Sabres got better.
Mm-hmm.
The Senators are going to make the playoffs next year.
Senators are dirty. Look, a lot of jokes at the Senators' expense, but fuck, dude.
Oh my God. What happened to
good Lord.
Did someone take the fork out of Pierre Dorion's brain? Like, what happened? Like, this guy was a moron, and all of a sudden he's just out of nowhere become this puppet master over the last month. Then you look at the Metro, and it gets even better. Carolina, who I hate, have only gotten better, adding Max Pacioretty, Dylan Coughlin for nothing, traded for both of them for future considerations. Who else did Carolina added a bunch of guys?
They dropped Trocheck to New York and freed up space.
They added Andre Kasha.
Yeah.
They added Brent Burns. They added Ian Cole. Like, that team is phenomenal. The Rangers have gotten better. Who did they pick up? I'm drawing on Yaroslav Halak and Vincent Trocheck, mm-hmm. both locked up for the Rangers. I forgot to mention too, Detroit got Andrew Kopp.
So that's another great addition.
Pittsburgh Penguins somehow retained the trio. I don't know how they did it. Malkin was allegedly pissed, and Crosby, I guess. Reports are coming out because the organization is basically turning its back on Malkin, and Crosby kind of woke up from his slumber and flexed his muscles, and all of a sudden there's a deal signed with Evgeny Malkin, shocker. So that's awesome. Washington got Darcy Kemper, Connor Brown, and I think they may have made another signing.
I think Charlie Lindgren.
Yes. Charlie Lindgren as well. Darcy Kemper, of course, is the main addition there. They're going to be better. The Islanders are good. We already spoke about, I think the Devils are going to be phenomenal. I think the Blue Jackets just got better. All those teams in the East.
Bottom of the East.
Like, for the Habs are the worst team in the East. The only team I think that can do worse than us in the East, I think will do worse than us, maybe, is Philly. Philly looks horrible. So, you know, I think the Habs do have the capacity to go and do some great things. But you look at the way the roster stacks up against basically every team I've mentioned other than Philly. And I don't think the Habs – I think the Habs have, at best, an outside chance of beating most teams in the regular season. I do think the Habs are going to be phenomenal offensively. But this is perfect for us. We can finish – bottom five in the league, because realistically, finish last in the East, you're probably bottom five, right? Mm-hmm. It'll be pretty hard for five Western Conference teams to fall below you if you're last in the East. And then, baby, we're in the Bedard Sweet Stakes. We're in for Mishkov, we're in for Fantilli. That's what this organization needs. One more year, guys, of dog shit hopeless hockey. I'm sorry, it's needed. We're gonna have one, maybe two lines that give you some hope, and our third and fourth lines are gonna get scored on a shit ton. That's what we want. Okay, so don't, and honestly, if Kirby Doc's playing on our second line as the center, I love the kid, he will be a two-way center at some point. Not got the defensive game yet, he's gonna get scored on a shit ton. So I think, you know, coming out of free agency in the weirdest way possible, with other teams adding and getting stronger in the Atlantic and Eastern Conference, I think this Habs team is in a great position. I really do.
No, I think you're right. I just wanted to touch on the Ben Sherratt thing. So I saw someone tweeted it, and I just kind of went back and looked at the trade again. Did we move them for Ty Smilinak, a fourth rounder, which turned out to be Cedric Goudon. And then we got a I'm trying to think of the word. It's like unprotected or whatever. We got a first round pick next year, which you've already talked about. But for Ben Sherratt to go and only play 20 games in the regular season there and, what, six games in the 26 games for the Panthers, and we got a first-round pick out of it and a fourth-round pick of this year's draft that we just had? It's fucking unreal, dude.
No, it's amazing. Like, I think the Habs have done kind of done really well by doing nothing here. And I do think there will be moves made. I don't think Kent Hughes has done it all yet. And I'm excited to see what – I assume we're going to have some announcements from them by the time this recording drops, if not before it does, because you can just sense it, can't you? Yeah. I don't think
we're going to free up something.
I don't think Dvorak and Petrie, both of them, are going to be on this starting roster. One of them at least will be gone.
Mm-hmm. I did see something, though, that said I believe I read so much ignorant shit today, but I believe it had something to do with Jeff Petrie, and it was supposed to be Jeff Petrie, about maybe not getting moved in free agency, but some type of mid-season type of trade. But like you said, though, one of them are probably not going to be on this fucking team come opening night. It's crazy. Love that we haven't even attempted to bullshit about the Pierre-Luc Dubois yet, because we don't need him. He's we didn't bring in Doc, to be a fourth.
I'll be honest, my opinions kind of changed on the Pierre-Luc Dubois situation.
I just think it's a waste.
See, there are two issues I have with the Pierre-Luc Dubois scenario, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The first being, he's already been on two teams. There is a question. I'm not saying he has attitude issues, but there are legitimate questions about his attitude. I think it's fair to say you could make that, you could pose those questions. And secondly, being, yeah, we do have Kirby Doc. However, and I say this purely because I guess I forget, because he's been marred with so much stuff recently, you forget how good Pierre-Luc Dubois really is. Like, realistically, he had a slow start to the year. He had 60 points. He's 24 years old. This is with a horrible Winnipeg team. He's done it in Columbus, where he had 61 points, 48 points, 50 points, 20, he's had 27, 28 goal campaigns, 306 points in 361 games played. 6'2", 205. We've seen him get in the corner and throw Austin Matthews around. No one throws Austin Matthews around. You look at his advanced analytics, he is one of the best analytic centers in the league. In almost every statistic, including micro stats. So as much as I agree with you, and I think, like, we got Doc, like, it's weird, I don't think we should trade for Pierre-Luc Dubois, to be honest. But if we did, I can't say I would be very upset, because he is just so good that I think If he were a lesser player, I don't think it would make any sense. But I do think Pierre-Luc Dubois is genuinely one of, I think he's a top 35 player in the league when he's on. Maybe top four. Like, he's a very, very good player. And I think he has the capacity to be a top 15 center in the league when he plays well. Maybe I'm being a little optimistic. Like, he's not a top 10 center, but you know what I'm saying? Like, he is in the upper echelon. He is a number one center.
That's the thing, though. You spend all this to get him over here, and then now you have this kind of, now you have to distribute Nick Suzuki and Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Okay. Edmonton does it with Draisaitl and McDavid.
That is true.
Like, I don't, like, think, consider, like, I think Habs fans are just getting kind of narrow-sighted here. We have begged for centermen for the last 30 years. Even when we had Saku, we didn't have a second line elite center.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have support. Now that we can have that, I am not going to complain. The main reason I think we shouldn't trade for Pierre-Luc Dubois is because I'm not sure if you saw these comments. His agent came out recently and said, we found out that he told the Jets that he would be testing for, he wants to test free agency. Like, mm-hmm. He's told them way in advance. Okay. Well, we got more information today from Pat Brisson, and essentially what, and from outside sources, that allegedly, basically, it's not Pierre-Luc Dubois telling the Jets, I hate it here. It's a courtesy. I guess it was sort of a, more of a courteous, like, you know, so you can plan accordingly. Mm-hmm. I will be testing the free agent market. But then Pat Brisson did something kind of cheeky. They asked, he without being asked, he said, Montreal is a team Pierre would like to play in. He can envision signing there long term. Now, I'm not sure if agents are allowed to say that, but he did. And Pierre-Luc Dubois is a free agent at the end of next season. Mm-hmm. So I guess the main reason for me, and I'll let you jump in here after, is why I may be against trading for Pierre-Luc Dubois right now is because, like I said, I would like to be very, very bad so that we can get Connor Bedard.
Right.
And if we can just get him at the end of the year anyway, then,
then
I think
no
that would be the best course. Pardon me?
Like, there would be no need. Like, it was a senseless
yeah,
trade.
Exactly.
Because he's RFA, right? So we would have to
he's gonna be a UFA.
This year? I thought he would be on
next
RFA.
Year.
Okay. I was gonna say, so it didn't work. It didn't work, so I didn't put as much thought into it. I was like, we would have to move something, a key member. We already lost Romanov. If he was the scapegoat again, okay, but it's just not going to work. Wasn't sold. Great, great player, though. Nothing against his playmanship, but I just think wrong time. You know what I'm saying? Hey, Turkey. I think if we were...
No, I agree. I think next year is when the Habs should be visited again.
Like, if this was being visited before this year happened, like, if we were... This free agency talk was last year's, right after the Cup, sure. Okay? Because we don't know what fucking bombshell we're about to, you know, be exposed to. This year, no. We're already rebuilding, you know, we're trying to build with the youth, and I'm not saying he's not youthful at 26, but he's not.
He's 24.
I thought he was 26.
No, he's only 24.
Well, still, it's not what we're looking for.
I think Pierre-Luc Dubois is definitely someone the Habs like. I've changed my mind a little bit, and I say that because I think before when we spoke about it, I was more certain the Habs would get Shane Wright as well.
Mm-hmm.
And much as I'm talking about getting Connor Bedard, the odds of Montreal getting Connor Bedard next year are extremely low. And what I've learned, and what I think we all need to remember watching hockey, every team that wins the Stanley Cup has two elite centers. Colorado didn't get anywhere until Nazem Kadri played like a night. Like, he was on a 100-point place.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay had Stamkos, Point, Cirelli. St. Louis had O'Reilly and Robert Thomas. You go down the list, the Penguins, Malkin and Crosby. you just don't win unless you have two elite centers. And as of right now, you know, I have faith. I'm believing in Kirby Doc. I hope he can become that. The Habs have won. I think Suzuki will establish himself as an elite center, so I'm going to make that assumption. The Habs have one elite center. We need another. So that's why I think Pierre-Luc Dubois should at least be entertained by the Habs.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry. I saw Eric Carlson's name pop up on Twitter, and I just wanted to see who was talking about how Doug Wilson and you know, unbeknownst to Carlson at the time, would be the two guys to just destroy that team and have to start new. We're talking shop right now. We're trying to figure out things, trying to make, I guess we're betting on the future. And with that, we do have a word from our sponsors who love to bet on everything. DraftKings. The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer. With tons of ways to bet on all your favorite sports, you can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Plus, right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Got it. That's right. Make your first bet up to $1,000, and if it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash in. You could throw down on all the major action for baseball, golf, MMA, and more. Plus, with same-game parlays, spreads, money lines, over-unders, and props, your betting options feel endless. So I got a fucking notification from them earlier today about something on the lines of Tiger Woods. He's about to play, you know, bet on Tiger Woods for something. You can gain this. I've never bet on Tiger Woods, but he seems like a great person to bet against, especially with all of these bigger guys going to that Saudi Arabian league, the Live League or whatever. Something to be interested in. Best of all, DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want, as always. Y'all remember, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Make your first deposit and get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code THPN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See the show notes for details. Yeah, dude. I feel like 2 years ago, maybe it was three now, their COVID years just kind of jumbled together. I feel like the one before COVID, it was just 12 o'clock hit and the internet fucking broke. Phone, like, I remember my phone died two times that day. It was just, what do you want, Turk? It was unreal. I feel like this one's a little bit quieter. I know we have a little bit more time, but I don't know. Maybe it just wasn't as many big names up and about. I think
it also has to do with how hard-pressed teams are up against the cap.
True, true.
Difficult. You look at Darcy Kemper and what he signed for. Like, he's been one of the best goalies in the NHL the last 4 years. And he's signing for 5.25 million. That's nothing. You know, Campbell signed for basically a similar amount. It's a tough market out there for guys right and teams right now.
I don't know how we didn't bring this up. I'm glad I thought about it at this last second. Amongst talking about the Ottawa Senators and how nasty they're going to be, the acquisition of Cam Talbot. I think that's crazy. Not a lot of goalies, I guess. Maybe this is just in my mind. To leave a Canadian market just absolutely disheveled and rebound. Didn't see Cam Talbot making it back to Canada. I guess it really wasn't on his terms because Bill Guerin basically just told him, I don't have to think about shit. And then 2 days later, they trade him to Ottawa, which I thought Cam Talbot and Fleury were going to be a, you know, another, we'd get more time of seeing how nasty that two-pack punch would be. But now he kind of fills in the back on the Ottawa Senators that definitely could have used it. I don't feel like I know enough about them, but it's a one up from Matt Murray, who hasn't played an entire year there.
Certainly, Cam Talbot was an all-star last year.
Yeah.
It's certainly more than a one-up. And you look at that Ottawa Senators top six. DeBrincat, Kachuk, Giroux, Batherson, Stützle, Josh Norris. That's their top six, I presume.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Talbot doesn't let in four or five goals every night. They're going to win some hockey games.
Yeah.
They're going to score a lot of fucking goals. Like, the Sens have never had issues with offense. They're now getting a very, very good offensive player who also happens to be arguably the best face-off guy in the NHL, and Claude Giroux.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best two-way centers who can also play wing in the NHL. It's going to be tough to play against the Sens next year. And if it's rumored that they're looking to adding a defender, Mackenzie Weegar has been linked to them. I think teams are going to have some issues. And like you said, if Cam Talbot can stop, you know, basically not let in four goals, he'll probably win. And some nights he could probably let in six and probably still win the game. Like, I think, as much as I hate to say it, as much as I hate Ottawa, I have to admit, if I'm going to criticize, I have to at least acknowledge when they've done well, and they have done. Pierre Dorion has saved his job, it seems. I don't know what's changed. Maybe Eugene Melnyk was really holding him back. I guess we'll never know. This is a different man, because these are some phenomenal acquisitions and trades that he's made. This team is legit.
I mean, also with that, you know, they move Matt Murray. And I think it's a bit funny. But if I'm not mistaken, didn't they grab Zaitsev? Or they got him at some point? Or am I just making an ass out of myself again? But I'm looking at their D. Their D looks great now. I mean, you got Shabbat and Zub Thomas Shabbat, didn't he win the fucking – excuse me, Turkey. Didn't he win the Calder a few years back, or at least was like up in the top of it? Artem Zub was really fun last year, especially if you had him in fantasy for a while. They were kind of on a run. A lot of heavy hits. You have Jake Sanderson popping up, Zaitsev, and then, you know, a veteran and Travis Harmonick. I don't know much about Eric Brännström, but if they are going to get like a Mackenzie Weegar, I mean, you're
Brännström's a good young player.
What was that? Brännström's a good player.
Brännström's a very good young
player. Well, fantastic. Yeah. So, I mean, this team, other than like now, like their holes could be just like bottom six forwards, you know, which they still have some great guys, and Shane Pinto, fucking Austin Watson, I'll just kind of throw it. Matthew Joseph, throw it. I don't know. Nasty, nasty team. I didn't want to pump their tires too much, but I pulled them up on Daily Faceoff, and this is a pretty well put together team now.
Absolutely. Listen, I can't bear to compliment Ottawa any more than we have. So I'm not going to. I can't stand that team. I can't stand their fans. So yeah, I think we've praised them enough. Did you have anything else you wanted to talk about today?
I know you're tired. You can pump the brakes, buddy. Get a little Gatorade in you. Eric Engels, 2 hours ago, fucking probably happened when we first started recording, but deal between Dallas and Montreal for Jeff Petrie doesn't appear as though it will materialize. Short convo was had today, according to sources. Canadians very reluctant to retain salary, which is perfect. Never say never, but seems very unlikely at as this moment. I think that's another thing. They're looking to move Jeff Petrie without retaining shit and without grabbing anything, any modern players, I guess I could say. It's not the best way to put it, but I'm thinking, like you're saying earlier, it's going to be draft picks and prospects. But no, I don't have anything else to say. This has been a long one. We're at an hour 19. Mason's already done, turned his audio off. He's tired as fuck. He's probably sleeping mid-episode. But, folks, thank y'all so much. This has been Habs Nightly. We appreciate you guys listening. We hope you guys are enjoying the offseason and free agency. We can't wait to talk to you guys again soon. Thank you, Turkey.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.